మాధవ కుంజ విహారి గోపి జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధా మాధవ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి యశోదనందన భ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరవన చారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరవన చారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహార గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరవన చారి యశోదనందన రంజన యమునా తీరవన చారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ హరే కృష్ణ. సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ దిస్ మార్నింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 12 చాప్టర్ 2 ద సింప్టమ్స్ ఆఫ్ కలియుగ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 6. దూరే వారి అయనం తీర్థం లావణ్యం కేశధారణం ఉదరం భర్తా స్వార్థ సత్యత్వే ధార్షిత్యం ఏవ హి దాక్ష్యం కుటుంబ భరణం యశో అర్థే ధర్మ సేవనం దూరే వారి అయనం తీర్థం లావణ్యం కేశధారణం ఉదరం భర్తా స్వార్థ సత్యత్వే ధార్షిత్యాం ఏవ హి దాక్ష్యం కుటుంబ భరణం యశో అర్థే ధర్మ సేవనం దూరే వారి అయనం తీర్థం లావణ్యం కేశధారణం ఉదరం భర్తా స్వార్థ సత్యత్వే ధార్ష్ణయం ఏవ హి దాక్ష్యం కుటుంబ భరణం యశో అర్థే ధర్మ సేవనం.
Thank you.
केशधारणम् उदरं भर्तार स्वार्थ सत्यत्वे धाष्टमेव हि दाक्ष्यं कुटुम्बभरणम् यशो अर्थे धर्मसेवनम् दूरे सिचुएटेड फार अवे वारी ऑफ वाटर अयनम अ रिजर्वायर तीर्थम होली प्लेस लावण्यम ब्यूटी केश हेयर धारणम कैरिंग उदरम भर्ता फिलिंग द बेली स्व अर्थः द गोल ऑफ लाइफ सत्यत्वे इन सो कॉल्ड ट्रुथ धार्ष्ट्यम ऑडेसिटी एव सिंपली ही इंडीड दाक्ष्यम एक्सपर्टीज कुटुंब भरणम मेंटेनिंग अ फैमिली यशः फेम अर्थे फॉर द सेक ऑफ धर्म सेवनम ऑब्जर्वेंस ऑफ रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So translation. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance. And beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. Many of us don't have hairstyle. Oh, you have different shikha styles. Filling the belly will become the goal of life. And one who is audacious will be accepted as truthful. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man. And the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. Purport. In India, there are many sacred places through which the holy rivers flow. Foolish persons eagerly seek redemption from their sins by bathing in these rivers, but do not take instructions from learned devotees of the Lord who reside in such places. One should go to a holy place seeking spiritual enlightenment and not just for ritualistic bathing. In this age, people tirelessly arrange their hair in different styles, trying to enhance their facial beauty and sexuality. They do not know that actual beauty comes from within the heart, from the soul, and that only a person who is pure is truly attractive. As the difficulties of this age increase, filling one's belly will be the mark of success, and one who can maintain his own family will be considered brilliant in economic affairs. Religion will be practiced, if at all, only for the sake of reputation and without any essential understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya சக்ஷுருன்மிலித்தம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சைதன்யா மனோபிஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதா மையம் ததாதி ஸ்வபதாந்திகம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீ குரு ஸ்ரீயுதா பதகமலம் ஸ்ரீ குருன் வைஷ்ணவாம்ஸ்ச ஸ்ரீ ரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதாம் சகனா ரகுநாதான்விதம் தம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனா சஹிதம் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம். ஸ்ரீ ராதா கிருஷ்ண பாதாம் சகனா லலித ஸ்ரீ விசாகான்விதாம்ஸ்ச ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்து தீனபந்து ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமஸ்துதே. தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி விஷபானு சுதே தேவி. பிரணமாமி ஹரி பிரியே வாஞ்சா கல்பத்ருபியஸ்ச கிருபா சிந்துபிய ஏவச்ச பதிதானாம் பாவனேபியோ வைஷ்ணவேபியோ நமோ நமஹ. நம ஓம் விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ண பிருஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த ஸ்வாமிநிதி நாமினே. நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷா சூன்யவாதி பாஷ்சாத்ய தேசதாரிணே. ஜெய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர் ஸ்ரீவாஸ் ஆதி கௌர பக்த பிருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராமோ ஹரே ராமோ ராம ராமோ ஹரே ஹரே. மூக்கம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் நங்கயதே கிரிம் யத் க்ருபாத் தமஹம் வந்தே ஸ்ரீ குரு தீன தாரிணிம். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. சோ வி வெல்கம் எவ்ரிவன் ஃபார் டுடேஸ் session on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I seek the blessings of all the learned sages sitting here. So please, so that I can speak something for my own purification. I always feel very unqualified and very difficult for me to speak, but as a service to purify myself. And also today is the auspicious occasion of the appearance of Srila Raghunandan Thakur and the disappearance day of Sri Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So we'll briefly speak upon that also. The translation: a sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance, and beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. For those who are no hairstyle, for them the shikha style, like a big shikha, small shikha, whatever. So filling the belly will become the goal of life. And one who is audacious will be accepted as truthful. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man. And the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. Yesho arthe dharma sevanam. So many, as we have been discussing the last few days, the symptoms of Kali, that's what the chapter is, and very beautifully in the past week devotees have described some of the symptoms. Of course, as devotees were mentioning that this is pratyaksha also, we are seeing what we are reading, we are seeing or experiencing or witnessing in the lives of people around and in ourselves also. So the first thing which is mentioned here in is that the holy place is dure vari ayanam teertham, that which is far away and there is a reservoir of water there, and just take a bath in there, that is done. That's the holy teertha. So that's the typical a pious Hindu person may think like that many times, but they miss the essence of what the holy teerth represent, or what is the purpose of having a holy teerth. As I think 2 days back, Rasikraman Pooh was very succinctly, very, in one sense, in essence, he brought about what all these verses are bringing forth is that we are missing the essence of the things. In the sense, we are giving undue importance to things which are not that important, and those things which are of value, we miss to give them importance. So that's a typical Kali Yuga symptom. The essence is lost. The packaging, Kali Yuga is basically a packaging industry, a packaging job. The essence is lost. People are not focused on what is the content, but what is the packaging, how beautiful it looks, how nice it is. The externals are valued rather than the actual content. So that is what is happening in these different examples also. That holy place, the whole idea of a holy place as it is described in the purport is that one should go to holy place seeking spiritual enlightenment and not just for ritualistic bathing. So that's the whole idea of the holy place, to absorb our consciousness. The essence is so that we go to a holy place, we absorb our consciousness, we tune our consciousness to absorb the spiritual vibrations, to hear from the sadhus available there, who are there. So that is the whole idea of a holy place, that we absorb our consciousness in the spiritual subject matters, connect ourselves with the Supreme Lord. That is the advantage of the holy place. The range is higher. They're easy to connect with people. Like where there is a good range, it's easy to connect with. If there is a geo tower nearby, it's like easy to talk. There's a good range. You can connect very nicely. You can speak clearly. So that's the whole idea of a holy dham. The sadhus are there. The whole spiritual vibrations are there. And of course, the holy rivers are there. So when one takes full advantage of that, it's like very close to a tower, which is good range, and we can connect and absorb with the Supreme Lord clearly, much more easily than being in a place where there is not much connection. So the idea is not the essence of a holy place is not that it should be far away and it should be a reservoir of water. Basically, whatever helps us, whichever place helps us to tune into the spiritual frequencies, that's what the essence of the holy place is, and the sadhu's availability there. It's not that, like as it is mentioned, that people in India think that just taking a holy dip in a holy river is, that's all the spiritual life is. Like people from Haridwar will go to Calcutta to take bath in Ganga, and people from Calcutta will go to Haridwar to take bath in Ganga. So the same facility is there nearby. So the same Ganga is flowing. Of course, if it helps to go far and absorb, like Ban Ganga is there for us close by. But for us, the Ban Ganga may offer some distractions, like it's close to our place of our service. But for absorption, if it is required, we go to Haridwar or Calcutta or wherever, where we can absorb our consciousness, meet the exclusive time we can spend with Krishna and his devotees. So that is the whole idea of holy places. Otherwise, that's the essence of it. The superficiality of the holy dham is considered nowadays in this age of Kali Yuga. Like Srila Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela in 1977. That was the very special Kumbh. I think 144 years it comes, like Mahakumbh, which comes after 144 years. And Prabhupada was there for the preaching mission. And so the day of the main snan, it was very crowded and cold, and Prabhupada's health was not good. 1977. So he didn't want to go. So he told his disciples to bring them a bucket of water from that Triveni Sangam. So they brought a Sangam bath, and the next morning Srila Prabhupada took bath, and then somebody asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, so you're feeling like transformed completely now?" Prabhupada said, "No, the same water was coming anyways in the tap, also the Ganga water." So the transformation comes when we tune ourselves and into the spiritual vibrations, when we hear from the sadhus, those who are present there, when you absorb our consciousness in those. Of course, those holy places have powerful spiritual potencies, which has a powerful effect. But unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, people miss the essence of it and just go by the externalities of the holy dham. And then it is described that lavanyam keshadharanam. That's also interesting how only the hair by people will be beautiful, or people would spend a lot of energy, efforts in whatever they're styling their hairs or decorating their hair or spending a lot of energy. We all, not now, we don't have much experience now, but we can see, I'm sure the cosmetic industry is one of the biggest industry. That's the whole idea of that, is to look beautiful. And as it was described by Rasikraman Prabhu, skin deep. But no character is not seen. But here it is in the purport, it's described. The real beauty comes from the soul, from within. And as beautifully Satyanand Prabhu described a few days back about how character is what gives the real beauty to a soul. But unfortunately, the whole Kali Yuga, as we saw, is a packaging industry. People just see what looks beautiful on a very, very superficial platform. Just the designing. And people spend hundreds, thousands of rupees to just get a simple haircut. Like we have many saloons nearby also. It's very, very expensive. We have our devotee's saloon also, where the minimum haircut price is 2,000 rupees. So that's what people spend on getting a haircut or whatever. So the point is, it's a lot of, and I'm sure there must be, I haven't checked it, but I'm sure if you just on Amazon app, if you look for hair products, at least 1 million products would come. No, I haven't tried it, but I'm sure it will be at least 1 lakh or 1 million hair products would be available now. Previously, it was only probably a few Brahmi hair oil or whatever, or Brill cream or one or two things. But then as the distractions, as the superficiality, Kali Yuga increases, superficialities increase, and these different Kali Chelas bring out these different products and advertisement industries, and they just bring forth that this is all in all. How you look is all in all, and not to take care of the internal purification or internal beauty. So that is the Kali. Yes, the value is given to something that is not of that importance. Undue importance is given to the body. Body is important. That's our tool. That's our vehicle. That's our facility to connect with God. That's its purpose. But to give undue importance is the nature of Kali. To give special importance only to body. And the real thing, the soul, Atma, is neglected. People are after hair, not after Hari. That's the transformation people have to do from hair to Hari. Thinking about hair all the time, and you'll see in the train also people combing. But from hair to Hari conscious people have to become. We all have to become from hair. We are also sometimes worried, are shikhane yugrahi, and then get some oil and press it, and it's like that. So it's all for all. Basically, hair refers to external beauty and external trying to look attractive to the opposite sex. That's what the hair is representing here. The whole idea of Kali Yuga is to somehow look attractive to the opposite sex. That's the, as it is described in the purport here. So therefore, it is very essential how we see the inner beauty, the beauty of the Atma of the living beings. As we were discussing, Sargrahi Vaishnav can do that. Looks into the essence of things. When he, a Sargrahi Vaishnav, sees a person, he sees the character of the soul, the beauty of the soul, the beauty emanating from the soul, the real beauty. And we see the beauty of the body. As soon as the soul leaves, it just looks beautiful for a few hours, and then nobody wants to even touch it, nobody wants to even see it. So that's the beauty of the body, just very, very temporary. And it's emanating from the Atma. As soon as the Atma leaves, the beauty is gone. That means the beauty is actually coming from the Atma and the soul. So there's one story of one such Sargrahi Vaishnav who is on his path, on his journey, looking for truth, looking for absolute truth in Rishikesh. On the Lakshman Jhula walking, And he just comes across, while after he crosses Lakshman Chula, he comes across a colony, a leper colony. That colony is still there. Of course, it's much renovated and it's not meant for lepers now. But then Rishikesh, you go, you can see that leper colony. You go in there, and then this person, the Sargrahi Vaishnav, he goes in there. Beautifully described how he sees dying people there. Some were naked, some wearing filthy rags, then wailing in agony. The faces were shriveled, deformed, noses were melted, the hands and feet were not there, they were like stubs, and the whole thing was emaciated, starvation and dirt, absolutely unclean. So looking for beauty there, that's the scene there. And then when this personality goes there, a dozen of them actually surround him. And they were crying and asking for donation, bakshish, bakshish, pressing their bodies, asking for charity, all over dirt, filth, neglected. So that was in 1970, that's how the society was. Like, leprosy means very, very contagious. Nobody would just, they would just stay in a separate colony. And then, so this was the situation, asking for bakshish and then nothing to give. He had nothing to give, absolutely nothing to give there. And but the mob would not leave him. They just patted him, looked for everything. They wanted to at least steal something, whatever he had, but nothing valuable was there to give externally. No marrying. So no escape. So that it went on for 20 minutes almost, this whole exchange in that filthy place, apparently filthy place. But then after 20 minutes, when they just realize he has absolutely nothing. So finally they just like left him away, throw him away, and then they move aside. And then the eyes locked. Is there anything? Love at first sight? That's something. This is the real love happening here. And then the eyes locked between this personality and an elderly lady who was there in rags. Her nose was melted into the decaying flesh because of this thing, and hands were like those stubs. The fingers were cut, the toes were cut. And then he saw that the teary eyes of that lady emitted a tender love of a mother, an affection that she wanted to share. So she didn't want anything from him, and she just wanted to share that motherly love. She felt that grief of what this personality was experiencing in those 20 minutes. So she longed to give someone. She with her hands, she called for him and then raised her hands to bless him, and blesses her and says that, may God bless you. And then the beautiful exchange happened, and then it is described that he mentions that that was one of the most beautiful personality I experienced in my life. So this is what we all have to learn. Look for the essence, sar, the beauty in a person. She had that desire to serve, give her love. So that was emanating from the soul's innate desire to serve, to love and to be loved. So, but in Kali Yuga, it is just the surface appearances. That's what is. It's just the. But even if we were attracted by the hairs, we have Lord Chaitanya, who had the best hairs. Even Krishna's hairs are described as many beautiful verses describing the glories of Krishna's hair, Lord Chaitanya's hair. Like a whole beautiful pastime of Lord Chaitanya accepting sannyas. Many of the ladies, many of the people were just crying to think that Lord Chaitanya is going to cut his hair. So they're going to feel the separation from Lord Chaitanya that was there. But one of the major factors for many of them was that we won't be able to see Lord Chaitanya with these beautiful curly hairs. Krishna's hairs are beautiful, curly, black. Many times people spend like hundreds, thousands of rupees to make them hair curly. I remember when I was a small child, I was asked to go to a barber shop to get my hairs curly, and it was such a painful experience. 5 hours, now probably must be better techniques, but for 5 hours with those rollers and strong heat, I was made to sit and get the hairs curly for a few months. But the point is, Krishna's hairs, Krishna didn't have to do that. It's naturally curly, beautiful black hairs. So Lord Chaitanya was there. So then, so this beautiful episode, I'll just very briefly narrate this pastime of Lord Chaitanya's accepting sannyas. I'll continue from where, I think few days back, Gauranga Priyapru was describing Lord Chaitanya and Sachi Mata's conversation. So I'll just continue a little bit, take it a little further, and then maybe in the next class somebody can take it further. So we'll just to continue that leela. So that was after the conversation Lord Chaitanya had with Sachi Mata the day, the few hours before he was about to leave. Of course, Lord Chaitanya finally put her hand on her chest and gave her full assurance that I'll take care of full care of your worldly and spiritual needs. Do not worry. And I will take full take. And Lord Chaitanya then took dust off her feet, circumambulated her mother, and with tears and with great, in his eyes and her eyes, she was very grave, inert, unable to move, Sachi Mata. Lord Chaitanya just moves. And and when the devotees came the next day morning, as would they would come, whenever there would be not night kirtan, they would come in the mornings and see Lord Chaitanya. And then when they saw Sachi Mata sitting outside the house, inert, Srivas Thakur and all the devotees were like amazed to see, or not amazed, but they were like astonished to see why she is sitting such a state, inert, not speaking, not doing anything. And Srivas Thakur finally asked Mother Sachi, why are you sitting out here? And then Sachi Mata, unable to answer for a long time, but then finally she broke her silence and then said that, please take all the valuables which are there in the house. Because anyways, whatever belongs to Vishnu belongs to Vaishnava. So you take whatever is in the house, distribute amongst yourself. Whatever is Vishnu's is Vaishnava. So just take everything and distribute. And then she started to, of course, cry uncontrollably. And then she explained how Lord Chaitanya has left. And then everyone was immersed in the ocean of lamentation, and they were thinking what sinful activities we have done that we have lost it. How does this thunderbolt have come upon us? And now actually Lord Gauranga is going to take sannyas, he's going to shave his head, and the news spread all over Navadvip, and all of them came and cry. And even the when the atheists, they heard these crying and wailing and the separation which the devotees were experiencing, they were also began to lament. That was one of the reasons the atheists and those people, some of the people were not appreciating Lord Chaitanya for what he had come to offer, and they were offending. So therefore Lord Chaitanya had decided to cut his hair out of compassion. So that was Lord Chaitanya's reason to take sannyas and give up his hair. And then and then of course Lord Chaitanya finally comes to Kantak Nagar, that is Katwa. And then of course already Lord Chaitanya had informed the few devotees, so match fixing was there. Nityananda Prabhu came shortly, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukund, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Brahmananda Bharti. So these five, Lord Chaitanya had invited them to participate in the sannyas ceremony. And of course each of them gradually came, and then with all five of them, Lord Chaitanya approaches to Keshav Bharati. And as soon as Keshav Bharati Maharaj saw Lord Chaitanya's beautiful form, his beautiful hairs, and the effulgence emanating from him, he actually stood up and like was enchanted by the beauty of the Lord. And of course Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances, glorifies Keshav Bharati, and says that you are the deliverer of the fallen, you have no desire other than to serve Krishna, so please instruct me, you have accepted Krishna, and so please bless me with the same desire. And of course a lot of glorification and wonderful exchanges happen, and then Lord Chaitanya begins to sing, and Mukunda sings, and then Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that millions of people gathered. He said, we don't know from where, but millions of people came. Some of the demigods came to see the the beautiful Leela, like the turning point in Lord Chaitanya, the climax of the Leela of Lord. He was now going to spread the mission for which he had come. So therefore the demigods also had come to see, participate in the climax scene of this wonderful Leela. And all of them were amazing, wonderful. Kirtan was happening and Lord Gauranga was ecstatic dancing and tears in his eyes, and he was bathing everyone, embracing everyone like a mad lion. Vrindavanadas Thakur and even Kaviraj Goswami also, Matta Simha. Many times this example is used. And a mad elephant we have heard, but Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavanadas Thakur repeatedly use this word, mad lion. I don't know what mad lion would do. Mad elephant, probably we can see some videos, but mad lion, I don't think so. There's a video on, probably, I don't know if YouTube has any video on mad lion, but of course mad elephants are seen, but this is mad lion Lord Chaitanya jumping up and down and dancing and embracing and bathing everyone with his tears. And then of course after a while Lord Chaitanya pacified, and then he took a straw in his teeth and began to speak. This also comes repeatedly, straw in the teeth and then speak. How do you speak when you have a straw in the teeth? The straw will fall down. Now, but I don't know, but that's how it is described. That means with utter humility. Right? That with straw in his teeth, Lord Gauranga began to speak and he glorified. And then he said that this is my desire. I just want to serve Krishna. I am begging for this opportunity to serve. And then all of them were crying, and then people were discussing amongst themselves, how will your mother survive? How will... And they were thinking about Vishnu Priya Devi. What good fortune she had to have Lord Gauranga as the husband. And what a unique karma. Now she's going to face intense separation. So the devotees were discussing what unique karma she had to get everything in Lord Gauranga and then to lose that. So you need some, like you get some good wealth, you need to have good karma, and then suddenly to lose that, it's like a unique karma combination. They were thinking, of course, it's all transcendental service in separation. But then the devotees were discussing like that among themselves. And then Keshav Bharati, he was amazed. He offered prayers in turn. He said, this unparalleled devotion, what I have seen is unbelievable, what the devotion, what you exhibited. So please do not deceive me. I am your servant. And I think it is just to teach an example, you are accepting initiation from me. And of course, Lord Chaitanya instructed Chandrasekhar Acharya that you do all the yajna and everything, all the rituals, you can make arrangements, and everyone chanted Hari Hari. And then the next day morning began the most compassionate haircut ceremony. I think no other incarnation's haircut ceremony is described. Right? This is the compassion of Lord Chaitanya giving up the most beautiful hair. Devotees would come and bring flowers every day and personally decorate the hairs of Lord Chaitanya many times. So they were thinking whom hair we would decorate. Kiske baal sajayenge hum? So they were like crying. And then the barber came. When he saw the beautiful hair, he was like also shocked. He was in tears. How can I cut such beautiful hairs? I don't think so any barber would have had any experience of seeing someone's hair and saying, hey, kaise kaat sakta hu? But this was the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's hair, Lavanyam Kesha. That is, I think, for Lord Chaitanya. It's not for this age of Kali. Dead hair of a dead man is fit for the dustbins. But this is Lord Chaitanya's most glorious, beautiful hair, which is shaving to save the world. That was Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Bhargava was crying, all the people were, tumultuous sound of weeping was happening. And he was hesitating to shave, he was crying. So he wasn't sure what to do. Devotees were crying and many people were discussing, and demigods were crying hidden. It's described by Vrindavanadas Thakur. Probably their tears were falling, so it seems rain happening a little, but it was actually the tears of the demigods. And the women were discussing who invented this sannyas ceremony. Like a strange ceremony. Why did the make this ceremony. And Lord Chaitanya was also, Gauranga was absorbed in the mellows of devotional ecstasy. He was trembling and tears were coming, and so it wasn't possible to shave. Definitely he was fearing Kattuni Lagja, right? His Lord Chaitanya's tears and jumping and trembling. So it was difficult for him to shave also. So then, and so it was very hard for some time, and Kirtan began, and then Lord Chaitanya again began to dance. He sat for cutting, but then he started to dance, and then finally, after a long time, Lord Chaitanya actually finally, at the end of the day, peacefully sat down, and finally he, the Madhushil, the barber, did that blessed event of shaving the hairs of Lord Gauranga. So that's how this beautiful ceremony, shaving for the saving of the world, happened. And that is, and then of course it is described how the goal of the life will be filling the belly. And the next section, the verse described, and that body will be considered most important and fulfilling the family's needs, and the real purpose of human life will be missed. Filling the belly and taking care of the family is important, but as we discussed, Kali Yuga, undue, unnecessary importance is given beyond what is needed. What is the purpose for which we have got the human form of life is to go back to the spiritual world. The whole idea of householder life, Prabhupada, yesterday we were reading in the Ocean of Mercy in Rishikesh, Prabhupada was sitting with a few of his disciples. He was describing that beautiful verse, Pitana Sasya Janina Sasya, that the whole purpose of householder life, to being a father or a mother or a relative, is to deliver the dependent, not just to fill the belly of your dependents. Prabhupada very graphically described that even the animals are doing that, even the dogs and the birds. We see here in our Lakshmi Narayan garden, there was a bird who had made a nest and there were children. She was like regularly coming, feeding, and anyone who would go there, even she would attack the cat. So that's so meticulously she was caring for the family. So which is important, but that's not the goal. Which unfortunately Kali Yuga people are convinced that that's the goal of life. That is not the goal of the real father. And ultimate value to chant, to absorb in Krishna is missed. And in the last line of the translation said that the religion for will be done, and in the purport the devotees explain that religion will be done, if at all, for reputation. So people just again miss the essence of it, makes the real purpose of religion is to connect with God, is to purify oneself, but people do these external rituals giving undue value to the envelope and not to the content. You want to send a message to someone, you decorate the envelope, you put energy in decorating the envelope, writing beautifully on the envelope, but the content, the message, is not paid any value or intention. So that is what this age of Kali is. And we see in the life of the two great souls whose appearance and disappearance there is today, how they exhibited in their lives the essence of spirituality, the essence of Kali Yuga, to chant the holy names, are beautifully exhibited in the lives of Srila Raghunandan Thakur. He was born in 1510 on the day of Vasanta Panchami. Sorry, today is the disappearance day. And it was 1510 was the same year as Lord Chaitanya was in Ranganath. And today also is Andal's appearance day. Prem Kishore Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, Andal, she married Ranganath. So when Lord Chaitanya was in Ranganath, here Raghunandan Thakur was born in Shrikhand. The family of Mukunda Sarkar, Narhari Sarkar was, and Madhav Das, they were the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, internal associates. Mukunda Sarkar, his father was Vrinda Devi in the spiritual world. And of course in this Leela he was the doctor to the king. We heard that story of peacock feather. And they had a beautiful Gopinath deity at their home. And one of the times when Raghunandan Thakur was very, very small, young, and our Mukunda Sarkar had to go out for some duties and he could not do the Rajbhog offering. So he trained Raghunandan, who was very devotional from his beginning itself, trained him how to make an offering. Your mother will give a plate, take in front of Gopinath and ask the Lord to accept. So as instructed by his father, Raghunandan goes, makes a plate, takes in front of Radha Gopi, in front of Gopinath. I don't know if they have Radharani deity, but Radharani is there in the heart of Gopinath. So he goes in front of Radha Gopinath and offers the bhoga, and he says, "My dear Lord Gopinath, please eat." And then Gopinath is eating but not speaking. So Raghunandan is saying, "Gopinath, please eat." And then Gopinath is actually eating but through his glands, and then Raghunandan actually begins to cry, "Gopinath, please eat." So then finally, seeing the boy's sincere devotion, Gopinath actually spoke to him. And then he said, "I have eaten by my eyes." So Raghunandan explained that, "I didn't hear this from my father. I haven't studied these concepts yet. Bhakti Shastri maybe not done yet. But then, so then I don't know what it means to eat by your glance, and if my father comes, he'll become very angry, he'll scold me that you don't have no devotion, that the Lord has not accepted your bhoga. So please, please, please eat." That was a simple devotion and faith that the Lord eats. That was Raghunandan's faith. We do the offering, but that faith is lacking. Many times that faith is lacking. So here he offered, and then finally when Mukunda Sarkarji is back from his office or whatever duties he had gone, and asks his wife, "Where is the prasad?" And said, "Prasadam is eaten by the Lord." So then he is intrigued. He knew Raghunandan is a very special personality. He must have definitely not eaten the whole Rajbhog, and he's too small to eat the whole Rajbhog for sure. So then he asked Raghunandan to offer this laddu to Gopinath. And then of course he hidingly sees, and the same thing happened. The Lord finally eats half the laddu, and then Mukunda Sarkar sees, and that half laddu is still there. Some say it's there in the hand of Gopinath, and I think Vishwarupa was mentioning that. He mentioned in his class that it's there in one of the temples that half laddu is preserved, the special laddu which Gopinath person. Of course, everything which the Lord glances is non-different from that laddu. It's the same, but still, that laddu was preserved, special laddu which actually the Lord. And Raghunandan Thakur, Mukunda Sarkar, they would go to, he is actually Kandarpa Manjari in the spiritual world. They would always go to Lord Chaitanya, see Lord Chaitanya with all the other devotees. So they will join from Srikanda. And one famous pastime where Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda Sarkar, "Who is the father?" So then Mukunda said that Raghunandan is the father, because he is the one who gave us devotion. And then another famous pastime of Raghunandan Thakur with Abhiram Gopal Thakur, that famous Abhiram Gopal Thakur with the Jai Mangal whip. Unique devotees of Lord Chaitanya. He was Sridhama in the spiritual world, Sridhama Saka, but he was interesting personality. He would offer obeisances to someone. If not a pure devotee, he would haribol. And if offered deities or Shaligram Shila, if not being worshipped, if the Lord is not there, that would crack. So I'm sure everyone must be afraid of Abhiram Gopal Thakur. But then he was genuinely, out of his devotion, he would wanting to offer obeisances. So when he heard about Raghunandan, that Gopinath ate laddu, he wanted to definitely come and offer his obeisances. It was his heart offering dandavas to the Vaishnavas. So then he comes, and of course, Mukunda Sarkar and Mataji, they hid Raghunandan, and they didn't want to, even though they knew he's a pure devotee, but still, for a parent, It's their son, it's Raghu. So they hid Raghu somewhere hiding. And then finally Abhiram Gopal asked, and they said, no, he's gone somewhere. And then of course Abhiram Gopal Thakur did loud kirtan, and then Raghunandan, wherever he was hiding, he just came there and he offered obeisances, and then with his whip, two whips, And then Raghunandan was dancing and jumping in ecstasy. And of course, finally the mother had to stop. About too much ecstasy will kill him now. He's too small. He's too small for handling your ecstasy. Take care of him. Just leave him. And then he was ecstatically dancing that the Nupur from his feet, Raghunandan's Nupur, fell 2 miles away from Shrikhanda. And there is a kunda there, which is Nupur Kund, and that Nupur is also there in one of the temples there, what was an ecstatic dancing, and the impact of that Nupur was that there was a Kund made there. And they had, out of his devotion for Raghunandan's devotion, in their courtyard they had a Kadamba tree which would give 2 flowers every day, for 12 months. 365 or 366 days, whatever, a year. So that was special. We see our Kadamba, out of devotion of so many devotees, it gave, I think, the maximum number of flowers for maximum number of time this year. But for Raghunandan, the whole year. So for that, we have to develop more and more devotion. And then by Raghunandan's mercy, this is possible that our tree can give throughout the year. And then another beautiful episode with Raghunandan Thakur. He organized Ekadashi Bhagavat Katha one time, and the Naam Seva program he organized. And many devotees came, a lot of Bhagavat Katha. Veerbhadra Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu's son, he appeared there. Srinivasacharya also had very close relationship with Narhari Sarkar and then with Raghunandan Thakur. And he, beautiful descriptions of this wonderful festival was organized, and Veerbhadra Prabhu was dancing ecstatically. And then one blind person was there, it's described in that Leela. He was hearing how Veerbhadra Prabhu is dancing ecstatically, and then he was hearing the descriptions, he couldn't see it. So then Veerbhadra Prabhu actually glanced in his direction and gave him that vision. And he actually got his eyes back in that Leela. And then of course, in that episode also, Raghunandan Thakur got the darshan of Narahari Sarkar. And then eventually on this day, Raghunandan Thakur, he was doing kirtan, chanting Goranga, Goranga. And in front of all the devotees, he reduced in size slowly, 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 and disappeared. It's described Lord Chaitanya actually appeared in his heart and he disappeared. So there was no body or something. And today also is the disappearance day of Vamsidas Pavaji, another very exalted personality. A Bhajanandi at the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur could recognize. Otherwise, most of the people outside wouldn't be able to understand his nature, his swabhav, his talking. And one of the devotees who was there with him for 3 months, serving him, appointed by Bhaktisiddhanta, he pointed out that, "I never saw him taking bath or going stool or urine or anything." That was Babaji Maharaj, born in 1859, initiated by Narottam Das Babaji, Avadhut. He would just be serving his deities, 6 deities, Radha, Krishna, Gaur, Gadadhar, Nityananda and Gopalji. And most of the times he would be talking with his deities and less with the people. Very, very rarely he would just talk to some people. And that too, always he would talk to them while talking to the deities. Somebody would ask some question, he would answer to the deities and then they would hear that. And whenever he would see Bhaktisiddhanta, he would say, "Oh, Manjari has come." So he would see Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasita. Or sometimes he would say, "Someone very close to my Gaura has come." And he was beyond, he was like an Avadhuta, the actual Avadhuta, not the ISKCON Avadhuta which we used. The Avadhuta, caring about the time or anything. One of the Babajis told him, "At least you offer your offering. Sometimes you do the first offering at 9, sometimes 3, sometimes 8 o'clock in the evening. What is that?" He said, "I don't know what is day and night. Whenever I am inspired, whenever they want to eat, they tell me and I just cook for them and I offer them." So that was his bhav and devotion. And one time he cooked sweet rice for his Gopal deities, and then he was about to offer, and then something came to him and he just threw that offering. And then somebody asked, "Hey, Baba, you made this?" He said, "No, Gopal already ate in Vrindavan some good chawal made with palm jaggery, so why should I offer him?" And then everyone was bewildered, "What is that?" And then one of the persons who was present there, he actually sent a letter, it's described, to Vrindavan, to Radha Govinda temple, that, "Did you on this day offer palm, good, jaggery, sweet?" he said yes. Then the letter came after a few days. Actually, we offered that day. So that was Vamsidas Babaji's unique connection with his deities. He made the offering, and one of the most bewildering pastimes. One time, one lady was selling fish, and she got some really nice fish. Nice, not fish, all fishes are nice, but one special fish. Of course, Vamsidas Babaji was born in a fisherman's family. So when she offered that fish, that this is very special catch, very rare fish I found. So Vamsidas Babaji, for a second he got a thought, wow, this nice catch. And then he realized, oh no, what am I thinking? And then he started to chastise his deities that I have surrendered my life to you and I am under your protection. How can I get such a desire? And then he tied rope to the legs of all the deities with a stone in them and threw them in Ganga, and with his feet he was holding the rope. And then, of course, he was chastised. And then those disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would send his disciples for bhoga and to serve him. So they were a little confused, and also Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur actually called them back. You don't go, you just serve from a distance. And then after some days, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur called them and told them, I called you, not that he was doing something wrong, because you will not be able to understand what he is doing. So that was his Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra. So that was Vamsidas Babaji, that you won't be able to understand. And actually Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would have people with him, nearby him, to get his Mahaprasad delivered to wherever Bhaktisiddhanta and his Gaudiya Mutts were there. So there were people who were appointed, who were with Vamsidas Babaji. Whenever he would honor, they would collect Mahaprasad, travel few miles, 100 miles, and give that Mahaprasad. And even if it would spoil, they would honor with great relish. That was, like as we say, a great person can know other great souls. So that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. And that was his... So many times many devotees would come, and so one time, and they would have many questions and answers. Sometimes Vamsidas Babaji will not answer, sometimes he would answer. And one time one person asked one of the devotees, Jati Shekhar Prabhu, he was serving him, and he was about to leave after his tenure of service, probably rotation was there. So he was going, and then he asked, so what sadhana should I perform? Babaji, I served you so much. So if you are pleased, please tell me what sadhana should I perform. So Vamsidas Thakur, Babaji speaking to his deities, he would say, he just said that there was a tree on the seashore. It was on sand and sometimes in water. That's it. That was his answer, what is your sadhana? And of course, that this devotee goes to the senior people in the mutt, and then he is explained that tree is like the jiva, and the jiva wants to build a dam out of the sand through one's own sadhana. You want to get Krishna? That's not possible. It's like building a dam on the sand on the shore of an ocean. Only by the mercy of the Vaishnava's guru and devotees that you can please Krishna. He mentioned that. And it is described that how, if you want to please Krishna, you please the spiritual master, the guru. If you want to please the guru, you please Krishna. But if you want to please both, then please the devotees. So that is the sutra which he gave. Please guru, please Krishna, please Krishna, please guru. But you want to do both, please the devotees of the Lord. And that's Srila Prabhupada in one of his morning walks. He mentioned that about Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, that if you think deity, of course not, this was not in the morning walk, this is one of the classes in the temple. Prabhupada was mentioning that if you think that deity is a brass maid, it will remain. But if you elevate your consciousness and become higher Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will talk to you, like he would do with Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So Prabhupada gave this example of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So on this auspicious occasion of their disappearance, we can pray to them that we can overcome these externalities, the superficialities which the Kali Yuga offers. And many times in the life of a sadhaka also, we can be get caught up in the superficialities of our practices. So we pray to these great Mahatmas that we can actually dive deeper into our spiritual practices and understand the essence of these practices. Jai Shri Raghunandan Thakur Mahashay Ki, Shri Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Granth Rashmat Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you.